generally emails it. He does it from...
From his email?
Yeah, from his email.
So, very good. Now we can continue.
Second verse?
Let's do the third one. We'll just do the 1, 3, and 4. And when I think that God is unnecessary, sentence to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled.
My words, and into my actions. I want your
entering into your will, I find the actions of all creatures and offer them with you to give you all the love, adoration, praise, thanksgiving, honor, glory, and reparation on behalf of all the human race, and especially on behalf of those who do not yet know that they too can enter into the kingdom of the divine will. Amen.
Now that we've prayed that, we don't have to have the retreat. We'll explain what we just did. So, Lord, bless us and open us to your guidance, Lord. It sounds easy, but your divine will is the depth of mystery, and it'll take us a whole eon to really understand what we've just said. And what you have offered us in our prayer today. So Lord, we just thank you for this time. We know it is you who teaches us. You're the teachers. Don't call anybody master. Don't call anybody teacher. You said you have one teacher, the Messiah. So we can use us, and you can use one another, and you can use other people, but there's only one teacher. Now, what did it? It doesn't want to cooperate. Let me see here.
It went to sleep.
You better cooperate now. Shutting down, what's that all about? I don't want you to shut down.
Went to sleep.
Configuring Windows. Oh, my goodness. Cancel this, Lord. You cancel it, Lord, and we will. If you pray, do not turn off the computer. You will turn off this. I guess this is an automatic internet connection here, or is that because otherwise this would be not make any sense.
Not an automatic. I don't think it's automatic.
I don't understand this.
What happened? Configure. Oh, Father, no. It normally happens. It's updating.
Yes, I don't want to update it.
But you have no choice.
Can you do anything about it?
No, they do. Okay. That's what happens. It just got to get
going. Well, that's fine. We'll talk about it then. It's finishing it. I didn't tell them that I'm having a retreat, so they...
Yeah. It has a mind of its own.
It's got a mind of its own. Yeah. So in the meantime, why don't you hand out those pages there? That's more or less what we're going to be doing. And so we'll just work from the pages until it completely updates itself. Oh, it has already done it? Okay, it's starting again, okay.
I'm not going around one by one.
Yeah, how many people already know about Louisa? I mean, how many people don't know anything about Louisa? Because a lot of you probably don't know a whole lot. And so one of the Louisa Picaretta is a lady that she grew up in Italy, over by the Adriatic Sea. She has a first-grade education, so this isn't about her. This is about what Jesus did. But she, when she was 13, she offered herself as a victim for souls. And it was so overwhelming that she was laid up in bed by 18. She never got out of bed after 18. She lived in bed for 18, and she couldn't eat anything. So she lived on the Eucharist for 64 years. She couldn't keep anything down. And so finally she was given permission not to try, because it was just being regurgitated anyway. So it wasn't anything she had any power over. Jesus wanted her to live by the divine will. So in a sense, what she was separated from all other communication because she was in bed for 64 years. And she didn't eat anything, so she couldn't be influenced by the food or by what was happening with the food like we have. She just lived on the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is the body of Christ. So she's living on the Word of God, which is Jesus said, I have food to eat that you do not know. My food is to do the will of my Father. So the Word of God is preparing. Is it going to do? Okay. But anyway, that's really what we're going to be looking at carefully, because during the time that she was bedridden, and this was about from 18, at 18 she made a vow. She became a Third Order Dominican, like Catherine of Siena. Catherine of Siena also lived on the Eucharist, but she died at 33. You know, Louisa died at 84, or 82, I believe it was. So it's like she had 64 years, and she went through two world wars, you know, the First World War and the Second World War. She was born in 1865, and so she died in 1947, so she had 32 years. So what we're going to be looking at is really what Jesus taught her. Because he said he was beginning with her a third fiat. Now, fiat is a Latin word for let it be. It is God's word that creates something new. And the first fiat is creation. And the second fiat is redemption. So Jesus coming, Mary being preserved from original sin so that we could be restored into what God intended for humans before Adam and Eve sinned. So after that, and through Jesus and through the church, we are baptized, and we're baptized free, what? Of original sin. So I didn't realize this. Of course, I didn't think about it all that much. But the that means that we're in the Garden of Eden. But why aren't we staying in the Garden of Eden? That's the problem, isn't it? And we've been praying, have we not, the Our Father for how many years now, 2,000? Are we any closer to having the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven than we were when 2,000 years ago when we got that prayer? It looks like it's going the other direction. You know, our kingdom, but we're freed from your will, you know. Which is what our culture is trying to do, isn't it? It's trying to dissociate us from God's will so that we can do our thing. We'll make ourselves God. Well, that's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the beginning, isn't it? You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So they thought that was wonderful. So Eve ate of the tree. Is this going to do this all day? I thought... Does anybody have another computer? It's doing the same thing over and over again.
Right, right. No, it's done, Father. It's starting.
Oh, welcome. Okay, very good. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for welcoming us. All right, where are we here? Computer. Let's go to Toshiba.
He needs his flip charts from years ago.
What?
You need your flip charts from
I
years
know,
ago.
I know. I need binoculars to see my own computer. Right. All right. Thank you, Lord. So, and the third fiat, which Jesus said he's beginning with Louisa, is to give us his divine will. That is, He will put his will in us, and that make it possible for us to live in without sin. This is quite amazing when you think about it. Because this, let me see here. What are we looking for? Presentation. No. Living in the divine will. Here, this is what we want. There, we got it back again. Okay, now we start from the beginning. There. Now we get rid of this. Is it showing up in our...
Still on, yeah.
Okay. It's...
The thing is on.
It's not cranking though.
Okay.
It has to warm up. Okay. So he's giving us his will to actually do on earth what the Father chooses in heaven. When I gave this retreat as a workshop, actually, for ACTEALS, I'm a member of the association, then called the Association of Christian Therapists, but called ACTEALS now. And so integrating, you might say, spirituality, that is Jesus' healing ministry and healthcare. Okay. And so I gave this as a workshop for the conference in 2014, and so this is basically an adaptation of that with our present situation, the retreat. And what was important is that healing is ultimately...
Sorry, Father.
Did you turn it off?
I didn't. It turned itself off. But
it turned itself off. Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I just tried to tilt it so you could see it on the screen. And
it turned it. Okay, Lord, we better pray our protection prayer. Lord, we bind any spirits coming against what we're going to do today, Lord, in your name, and command that they leave and go to the feet of Jesus now. They're not to return. They're not to send any in their place. All interference, we ask for your protection, Lord, to surround us, to open us to your spirit. Nobody can do anything you don't permit. And so you're just teaching us to pray for protection. Thank you, Jesus.
I praise you, Lord.
Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah.
All right, I won't touch it, but it's over to the right.
For your blessing, for everything that we do.
See, I moved it, and that's when it went off.
Okay.
Yeah, see, that's what I did. I don't know. It just keeps... It
must be very sensitive.
It's all right. Do you think the input cord was a little loose?
Well, just maybe move the screen.
Yeah, move the screen.
That's it.
There you go. That's it. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Don't breathe.
Very good. Thank you. All right. So, I'll have to get a little clearer. So, in a sense, you know, bringing this up is because the key to healing is ultimately to bring us back to what God did for Adam and Eve before they sinned. Because we wouldn't... All illness, suffering, and death came because of sin. They weren't going to have that illness, suffering, or death if they lived in the divine will. So the divine will is the key to all healing. So every illness that we have is ultimately an illness, first of all, in our spirit. We tend to tackle the effects of the sin, not the cause. The cause is ultimately our spirit. So if we could grow in the divine will, then illnesses would be eradicated.
We wouldn't have the physical symptoms.
We wouldn't have the symptoms. And in fact, in the recent conference in Dallas, Texas, which was on the healing, one of the workshops which I attended was on the healing of cancer. Because cancer is a very mysterious disease, isn't it? Because it's not a pathogen. You can't attack it, even though they try to attack it, because it's a fragile cell and it tends to get eliminated with the, you know, chemotherapy, etc. But it really is not getting at the cause, because the cause is that it's a helper. And when it comes into helping the area, if the area is not integrated into the whole person's personality, the immune system doesn't know what to do about it and doesn't turn it off, and it just piles into that area. So what Iris Peirce is the one that gave this in workshop, because she has a cancer specialist in the area of Dallas, and she had the experience, and the workshop that she was giving was on the Word of God as healing cancer, you know. And what she experiences when the people in the coming for help would begin to grow in their spiritual life and realize that God was within them and nothing that could happen except that God permitted it, and they trusted God, they began to lose their fear of cancer, then the cancer simply stopped.
Wow.
It stopped developing. And so she's had, you know, people that live much longer than they were supposed to by other people, and the other cancer specialists are wondering what she was doing, you know, and because her results were much different from what they would have anticipated with the different cancer situations.
What's her name?
Iris Peirce. She's not particularly organized. I mean, she's very intuitive. And so we're trying to get somebody to actually try to outline what she's communicated. But the issue was, it was fit with my understanding, because, see, I had tongue cancer and I never smoked. And I said, Lord, what's that all about? And so what came to me was that I didn't speak my pain. I didn't let the pain be brought into the light. So the immune system focuses on that pain, and the cancer cells try to help the situation, and it's out of integration with the whole, so the cancer just proliferates, you know, because the issue is the immune system. It doesn't know how to regulate it. At least, so that's the way I understand it. I'm hardly a specialist in cancer, but it was interesting to hear what Iris had her. She is a specialist in cancer and had that experience. And so, so that's what we're dealing with, the relationship of living the divine will and our health. So if Jesus is giving us his will to actually live on earth as it is in heaven, then the kingdom will come. He just needs our permission. Now, that's easier said than done. Because the sacrifice of our will, as Mary said, and there's a little book that Mary gave to Louise also, besides the 36 volumes that she did of diaries, 12 of which are on the first fiat, 12 of which are on the second fiat, according to the one who is kind of an expert in the field and did his dissertation. I'll bring you his book. You can see it. 700-page book, 420 pages of notes, all quotes from Louise's writings that Jesus gave her.
I read a big portion of that as I prepared to the retreat, because you had mentioned Louisa in the last Association of Christian Therapists that I attended up at in Wisconsin.
Okay, yes. If you look on the back page of this handout here about what we're going to be looking at, you'll see the references, and you can see that these books are available. You can actually download every volume free, digital. In that, I checked it out. I thought it was canceled, but it seems to still work. So all of those are possible to get on your Kindle or your iPad or whatever you read things on. So, and his book itself only costs $8 on digital, plus $40 as a hardbound because it's a large book. Yeah.
There's a website. It's called queenofthedivinewill.org, and they have everything on it that you can get.
Okay.
Yeah. Free.
Beautiful. So, yeah. So, I didn't put that down because that wasn't, you know, the kind of a site that I knew at the time. But so we're going to be looking at this little by little. So what is the divine will and how can we give it free rein? The divine will, of course, is God's will. This is the will of God is singular because God is one. They all have the same will. They make the same choices. And that divine will is Trinitarian. There's three persons sharing it. It's a community. And if to give us the divine will means that God wants us to be united with one another as they are in the Trinity, indwelling each other. Because that's what Jesus prayed in John 17. I pray, Father, that they might be one, as you are in me and I am in you. Well, how are they one? One will, totally. They indwell each other. So the theologians speak about indwelling and walking around in each other or whatever, you know. So we would, as we get to know somebody, we kind of step into their shoes. Well, as a matter of fact, Jesus stepped into all of our shoes. He took on himself all our sin. He entered into everything that we did when he became in flesh, that is, he was conceived in Mary's womb. He began to take on every stage of human development of every person who lived or ever could live, because it's God doing it. This is not finite. This is infinite, but using in a human form. So God had to do that if he was going to carry out his plan. Because his plan was to give us dominion over all creation. When we gave it to Satan, we gave Satan permission to do what he's doing today. That's us. We did that. Adam and Eve, our ancestors. And so what he's doing today is disassociating all creation from the will of God. And many people are buying into it. So how is it going to be changed? Well, it's going to be changed when people actually take seriously what he said. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how can it be done on earth as it is in heaven? Impossible.
Unless
he does it in us and we give him permission. Why do we have to give him permission?
Free will.
He's a gentleman.
Because he made us free. Right. And he loves, and love won't force. God is love. Our view of God is a controller, but the true God is a freer. The closer we get to God, the freer we will become. The more in charge of our own life we will become, the more whole we will become, the more free from illness or sin we will become. This is a powerful awareness, and we can hardly be exhausted in a couple of days. But anyway, born in 1865. Corrado, in Italy. She's the fourth of five sisters. She was timid and shy. She had a vision of Jesus at 13. Like there were three people going under her window, and one of the people that was, they were going into, they were being escorted by the police or whatever. They were going into, And one of the people looked up to Louise and said, "Soul, help me." And she just was overwhelmed. She then offered herself as a victim soul. And she suffered greatly and could hardly eat. And so by 18, she was not able to eat. And she didn't get out of bed because in the morning she was catatonic. They couldn't move her, you know. And so she had permission by that time. She was a third order Dominican. So she had permission then to to have a priest come and say Mass for her. So when the priest came and blessed her, then she would relax, and then she could hear the Mass, and then she would have 3 hours or so, you know, thanksgiving or presence of Jesus, and the rest of the day she did needlepoint and helping other people do needlepoint, et cetera, like that, for churches, et cetera. For some, whatever, about 64 years, actually. And so she became a Third Order Dominican at 18. She was confined to her bed for 64 years and lived on the Eucharist alone. She received 36 volumes of Revelations and two others, and other ones too, but the two main other ones are the Hours of the Passion and then the book on Mary, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. I would suggest that particular book as most helpful in helping people grow in the divine will, because Mary, of course, is the one who was living the divine will fully, you know, and she was the first one, actually, who was living the divine will, because, of course, she was here before Jesus. And then Jesus was the second. Of course, he lives totally the divine will. And Louisa is the third. And so Jesus told Louisa that all the saints before her, as good as they were not doing what he's communicating to her, namely to live the divine will. Because they were living out of a human desire, very holy, to correspond to the divine will, but it was limited by our finite humanity. And so, but this is beyond that. This is the divine will. So as we'll see, the implications of it will go forward here. So she died in 1947. She lived through both world wars, World War I and World War II, and getting visions and interceding for the suffering that would be lessened, you know. And then she died 2 years after the end of the Second World War, 82 years old. So the volumes, according to Iannuzzi's book, are divided into three sections. Volumes 1 to 12 are Jesus' incarnation, the fiat of redemption, the second fiat. Volumes 13 to 24 is God the Father's creation, the fiat of creation, the rounds of the soul in the divine will, etc., was written during that time, where she would go to the different stars and say, "I love you," in Jesus' name. You know, it's kind of like just glorifying God in all creation. So this is the perfect thing for a Jesuit who ends up the spiritual exercises with the contemplation to attain God's love in all things. So this is basically, Jesus is in everything. How do we grow into it? Well, we'll talk about that later. And it's not as quick as we just just saying do it. He has to have our permission. And we don't give permission unless we know what we're doing. And so we have to gradually learn the steps of virtue, etc. And I'll introduce us to a prayer towards the end that will help us to do that step by step. But it takes your whole lifetime, probably. But if you're willing to do it, Jesus wants to do it. So he'll do it in you. If it's not impossible. He did it with Louisa, and so he wanted to show that even if somebody was born in original sin, they don't have to continue to live with sin. That was an eye-opener for me.
Well, it's mind-blowing.
I never thought of what Adam and Eve did before they sinned. I only thought of the fall, you know, that's what we focused on. They're the sinners and now we're struggling to get out of it, you know. Well, no, God had a solution immediately. Right after Eve sinned and blamed the serpent, because of course that's part of sin, is that we don't take responsibility. So basically, Adam blamed Eve. The woman you gave me, she gave it to me and I ate. And then God goes along with our choices. It's interesting, isn't he? He honors our choices and he works from there. He doesn't force us. But we are making choices that are locking us into all sorts of problems. And we don't even know it. Well, anyway, so then the volumes 25 to 36 are the Spirit's sanctifying work, the fiat of sanctification, which is the divine will. So basically the divine will is the Holy Spirit, love, total love. And total love is not what we think love is. Total love is total self-giving. Because God doesn't need anything from us. He created us to share his life and love. He doesn't need anything. There's no self-interest in it except joy. When we turn, then he is happy. What did Jesus say? There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who don't need it. I don't know who those 99 are, but they're probably, they don't think they need it in any way. They're the worst one off, and he really doesn't have much chance with them because they don't need it. So he can't give what we don't need if we're not going to ask, you know. So that's why Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Okay, so... So if the fiat of creation is what we'll start with, because even though it's the middle section of the writings, now for me anyway, it was the beginning to start, because I didn't even give any thought about what Adam and Eve did before they sinned, or what there was like before they sinned, because I wasn't even thinking of that. I was just thinking about after sin, you know. So it's very important to reflect on what it was before they sinned, because that's what God never forgets. See, God's gifts and call are irrevocable, Paul says. God gets what he does, he chooses. He just has to factor in the fact that we will have to do it through our freedom. Because once we've sinned, of course, we've knocked ourselves off. We don't understand God anymore. So as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they became, you might say, made an image of God that they had to be good in order for God to love them. Now, is that true?
No.
But didn't we grow up that way? Our parents said, you be good, and then I'll reward you, etc. So we learned that you have to be good for God to love you. We got it all backwards. We can only be good if we let God love us. And God loves us while we're still sinners. How do I know that? Well, Jesus said so. When the rich young man came to him, he said, good master, what must I do to enter the kingdom? He said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. Teresa of Avila is not good? No. She didn't think she was good either. So, I mean, she said, anything in this writing here that is wrong, that's me. Anything that is right, it's the Lord speaking through me. The saints know they aren't good because they totally love. And they realize they don't totally love. Because they see things clearly. So the closer you get to God, the more you know you're a sinner. And so this is part of what, and the more you really appreciate what God did. Because when Jesus identified with us as we were, he entered into everybody as they are. Everyone who sinned, he took on himself the sins of everybody who ever existed or ever would exist. Hitler, Stalin,
Lucifer, I'm sure, but I won't talk about that. Because I think he would forgive the angels too if they would repent. We just, it's a matter of, because he loves them. They're his creatures too. So, and that's possible. It's not condemned. That's the Orthodox Catholic view is that it's, the judgment isn't out until the last judgment. And so they do, even Gregory of Nyssa, who is a saint, you know, has a prayer.
Father, you were saying that the saints knew that they weren't, that they were sinners because they know how good God is?
Excuse me?
The saints know that they're sinners because they know how good
they know
God
how
is.
Good God oh, is, okay. Yes. Because the only measure of sin is what is opposite to God. And if you think about your loves, it's all self-centered, you know. Human love needs human meriting, as Francis Thompson wrote in The Hound of Heaven, you know. How hast thou merited of all man's clotted clay the dingiest clot, he said. And then the clouds opened up and he said, ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am him whom thou seekest. Thou dravest love from thee who dravest me. All things thy child's mistake, fancies are lost, are not for thy harms, but that thou might find them in my arms. It's a powerful prayer, powerful poem. I don't know if you know The Hound of Heaven, but that's by Francis Thompson. Powerful poem. Long, too. 6 pages or something. I fled him down the night and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinth and ways of my own mind. And in the mist of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter from those strong feet that followed after, with unhurrying pace and unperturbed chase. And a voice more loud than the feet, all things fly thee who flyest me. All things running away from you because you're running away from God. Well, we hope we will get over that here. And so the things that are in gold here is from the quotes. In creating man, our divine will, Jesus said to Louisa, came forth from one supreme being, while all of our attributes naturally and subsequently concurred with our operation. Greater than the sun, my will emitted its rays, whose tips formed in man's soul his human will, which animated human nature. Our will is an expression of the will of God, and it's free. And that's why he makes us free. So as the sun's rays are bound to the sun, so the first human will was continuously bound to God's will and pulsated around their creator. So we don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden, you know, doesn't say. All we know is they were in the garden, so they actually were living out of the divine will at some point. And so when they were doing that, then everything that they were doing was out of the will of God. It's like a baby has to learn from the parents what choices to make. Well, that's our problem now, because the parents are all affected by original sin, and no one is good except God. And so we never get a full human image of the divine will. That's why we have to get born again. And we have to have Mary as our mother, and that was the solution that Jesus gave on the cross, wasn't it? The whole life was to have a mother who is free from original sin, not because she did anything to observe it, but because she made a choice. She was tested, she told Louisa, in the womb. And she made a decision in the womb because she saw the evil that came from the human will, never to do her will, but only God's will. She's the one who, first of all, among humans. And could God actually come if somebody had sinned? No. Sin is an abomination to God. It cannot stand in heaven. It's totally meaningless. We'll get to that. So God was so involved that in the beginning, every human act was accomplished in Adam by God. Our love reached such an extent that we, the Trinity, Adam's creator, accomplished in him every one of his first acts. God wanted to work through us and bring us into cooperation because that's what he was trying to do. That's why he created things. He wants us to be amazed. He wants us to look at creation and thank him because he thought we would like it. You know, I remember one of the people I used to do retreats with, Mary Klimowski. She's died now, but she's kind of like had a constant talking with Jesus, you know. And she once asked him, you know, Lord, why did you make me, you know, Italian, Jewish, and German, you know, in my background. Klimowski, I guess, is Polish there too, probably, but that's not her name. That's her husband's name. But anyway, and what he said was, I thought it would be interesting. Why did he make all of us different? We're all different, you know? And that's not by accident. Every snowflake is different. God never repeats himself. He's infinitely creative. We need to open our eyes and see what we could be invited to do. His will is not controlling. His will is empowering and freeing. The Holy Spirit both unites and differentiates at the same time. So the closer we get to one another in the Spirit, the more we'll know we're different. Of course, that makes it problematic in marriages, doesn't it? But that's intentional. Because it's only if we sacrifice ourselves for the freedom of the other person that we really know God's love. Because that's exactly what he did. He sacrificed himself by identifying with all our sin just the way we did it, each individual their own way that they messed up. He entered into it. He loved us in that action. And he's inviting us to see ourselves in light of the love that he had for us. He's teaching us from the get-go how to love that way. So that's really what we're going to have to learn. So our love reached such an extent. So that meant that Adam's actions as God's reached to all humankind called bilocation. That in the teachings he calls that bilocation. Bilocation is just two. But I mean this is multi-location. But anyway, the word that he used is bilocation. So basically Jesus was able to bilocate, not just in space, but in time. So the souls, ultimately, of all humans is in his soul. And he told Louisa that when she lives the divine will, the souls of every human would be in her soul. She would be interceding for everybody, too, whoever exists or ever would exist. That's what we're talking about. If this is we're going to have a day and a half to do that. A day and a half to know that we don't know it. You know, basically, we don't know what we're talking about.
Isn't that just like
nothing is impossible with
okay.
God?
So what he did was he had the grace of establishing, Adam and Eve had the grace of establishing divine order in creation. He was Jesus' representative for all creation because he was using God's will to do that. So Adam was great, holy. And actually Jesus said because of what he did at that time, which affected everybody who ever existed or ever would exist, he saved himself, even though because of the sin. because those that divine those divine acts are blessing us even though we don't know. It's deeper in ourselves. We never lose it. We know what we're made for. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I placed you in the womb, I knew you, and I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." He has works that we might walk in them. Ephesians 2nd chapter, 10th verse. Before the foundation. Ephesians 1:4. Before the foundation of the world, in the Beloved, I chose you to be holy and blameless. And that's what he has already done, because he interceded for all of us, as Tony Hickey's little book points out very clearly, that we would be free from sin. And he has kept that in suspension, waiting for us to receive it. Because to receive it, we have to stop resisting God. We have to stop using our will to save ourselves. Claire.
So Mary is the first one who did that.
Mary is the first one because she was, of course, human, first one in humanity because she was before Jesus. Jesus is, of course, the foundation. So it was in, she was free because of Jesus in the Beloved. Because of Jesus, she was freed from sin. The Immaculate Conception took a number of years to be defined because Thomas Aquinas said that Jesus came because of our sin. And if he came because of our sin, Mary would have had to be parted because Paul said, we all have sinned. And so Thomas and the Dominicans didn't believe in her, you know, the Immaculate Conception. SCOTUS, who is there's a wonderful kind of DVD or movie, and it's shown in EWTN sometimes, you know, on SCOTUS. And his whole life, he when he was younger, he wasn't, he didn't think he was smart at all, you know, and yet he was really devout, and so he was, and he grew, and he prayed a lot, and he became a theologian of renown, really, and debated Thomas, you know, the Dominicans. He was a little after Thomas. He was 1300, and Thomas was in 1200, etc. So he was a little after Thomas, but he debated the Dominicans, and he won the debate because he said, no, Jesus would have had to come whether we sinned or not. And Jesus actually told Louisa that was true, that he would have come whether we sinned or not, but he would have come as the one in whom we are being integrated, because we can't be children of God except in Jesus. Why? Because we're finite. God is infinite. He's making us infinite. little gods, but we're only little gods as little children of the Heavenly Father. All united as he is in the Father, as the Father is in him, because that's what Jesus prayed, and he always gets his birth. So basically, the kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. The only question is who's going to be part of it. Because he can't give us what we don't receive. So Adam also had a void in his soul. And now he had to fill that void with choices. He wasn't confirmed in grace because he had to be tested. So that void was filled step by step as he made choices to cooperate with the divine will. And that's all of us in a sense. So Jesus hasn't finished our creation yet. We all have choices to make, and that's part of our creation, because he can't give us anything that we don't choose to receive, because he loves, he doesn't force. So that's mysterious why he could permit us to cause so much sin for everybody else too. Look at Adam and Eve, and they messed up the whole of creation, you know. But they can't ultimately do it because God had in mind from the beginning. Because if you notice, when when Eve blamed the serpent, what did God do? He told the serpent, he goes along with her choices, he said, that you're going to crawl on the ground and eat dirt, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring and yours, and he will strike at your head, and you will strike at his heel. Okay. That was seen by the Jews as a prophecy of the Messiah. They prayed that it would take place, and it did take place. And Mary is what? The woman. Why did Jesus use woman in John's gospel, which was unheard of for a son to call his mother woman? But as Brant Pitre in his new book called Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary points out that in Genesis, Eve is said to be woman 17 times. And only once Eve. So Eve was named by Adam, actually. God was used woman, the woman, or whatever. And so woman is, what is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. And so what was his hour? Well, on the cross. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. The restoration of our divine family. The source of baptism and Eucharist coming out of his side, blood and water. He did it. So he's accomplished what he said. It said it's finished. So basically he sees all of us as though we were without sin. We're the ones that don't see that. God sees it. He's done it. We aren't persuading God to do it. That we think when we pray we're persuading God to do this. No, we're giving him permission to do what he's already done. We're receiving what he's done. And you say, well, I can't do that. Of course you can't do that. God did it in you. He wants you to receive it. That's all. Will you accept a free... Well, I have to, you know, if you give to... I have to give something back. You know, it's kind of like, that's the way we think, don't we? You know, if somebody invited me for dinner, I have to invite them back for dinner. My mother used to say this all the time. I didn't understand it because I didn't, you know, cook dinner anyway. So, but... but that's the way we think, isn't it? Tit for tat, you know. If they did it to me, I'm going to do it to them. Or if they did good, I'll do good in response, etc. No, God initiates. He only does good. Because he doesn't need us. He's sharing himself with us. That's all. He thinks we'll like it. And you will like it. And he gets excited when we accept it. So you can make his day if you just accept it. That's all. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who don't need it. He's fed up with people that think they don't need it. There isn't any 99 that they just think they don't need it. So, I was not to pronounce my fiat for 7 days as I did when I created the universe, but for as many days as the life of man contains. And for as many times as he, by putting his own will aside, would let my will operate in his. Indeed, my fiat, having to do more things in man than it did in creation, wanted more space. And do you know who gives me the freedom to operate in order to fill this great void in the soul? It is the soul. Who lives in my divine will. We give him that space so he could create his kingdom within us. He's already done it. He just needs permission, that's all. So to confirm Adam in blessed state of sinlessness, God asked of him a test. He can't trust us because he made us free, and so we really are free. He honors our freedom. So basically, he can't change it if we don't want him to, if we don't let him do it. So he gave him a test to abstain from the one tree in the garden. Just one tree. He had all the other trees in the garden. They were all on wonderful fruit and everything, you know. This is Eden. And if he had obeyed that, he would have confirmed himself and his progeny in the state of bliss and of kingship of all created things. We would have shared his rule over creation, which is really God's rule, and because he was letting it happen in him. Okay. Well, and I mentioned this as just as a corollary, that's exactly what Mary did in the womb. She made a decision never to do her will. Therefore, I, your mother, stricken by dread and more by love toward my Creator, swore to never do my will. I took this human will of mine and tied it to the divine throne in continuous homage of love and sacrifice, swearing to never use my own will, even for one single instant of my life, but always that of God. This sacrifice is so great that God cannot ask more of a creature, nor can the creature find any way to sacrifice itself more for its Creator. That's in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. That's the day 5. So Mary told Louisa, today, to honor me in every act that you do, you will consign your will into my maternal hands, and you will pray me that in place of yours I may make flow the divine will. That was just kind of, she gives little exercises after each of the days. It's 31 days, and then there's some few appendix days after. Original sin was not primarily an act of the body, but of the human will. The body did nothing wrong. Evil springs from the human will. Through his sin, Adam debilitated his human nature and that of all his progeny. Even if Adam had not sinned, Louisa maintained, Jesus would have nevertheless come to earth, not as the Redeemer, but as the triumphant King and head of mankind. That's what Scotus said. Because no one could bring us into an eternal relation to God except God. Humans can't, we can't correct what we did. We think we can, and that's, we're just making God in our image, which is what we have been doing for, until I found this out. you know, we've been trying to be good in order for God to love us, you know. And you can see how crazy it is, because Jesus said he only does what he sees the Father doing. So he's not placating the Father. The Father is showing him what to do because of his selfless love. He doesn't spare his own son, but sends him to die for us. And now they all agree, all the persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, agree that they should do this out of love for us. So indeed your Jesus was to come down from heaven, not to find man infirm on account of having withdrawn himself from my divine will, but in a state where no illnesses of body or soul should exist. That's the divine. So all the divine acts of Adam and Eve and his progenies would have performed had he not sinned were suspended. That spiritual place God formed in Adam's soul, the void that he was to fill with bilocated acts, remained virtually empty. And the goods that God had prepared for him were withdrawn to await in God's time for their realization or actualization. Jesus explained to Louisa, now, as man withdrew from the supreme will, he rejected all these gifts. But the divinity did not reabsorb them within itself. Rather, the divinity left them suspended in its will, waiting for the human will to bind itself to the divine will and re-enter the original order that God had established. That's what we're experiencing. He actually indicates that in the Old Testament. See, that's why I wasn't totally surprised. I was just very gratified, because now the kingdom of God is going to come, because God gets his way. So if Jesus is giving his will to do it, it is coming. It's just a matter of who's going to be part of it. You can't stop it now, because Jesus has become human. So he's all creation is under his kingship. You say, well, it doesn't look like it. Well, it's because we aren't cooperating. He's letting us, he's giving us rope to hang ourselves, I think. But he can't do anything else, because when are we going to make the decision that we can't do it and we need to trust God? He waited 2,000 years in the Old Testament, and did anybody succeed? David, Moses, they didn't get into the promised land. Even Abraham, went along with Sarah. And now we got Ishmael, now we got conflicts that are happening. David, he said, the sword will never leave your finger. You're forgiven, but the sword will never leave your house. They've been split ever since. They're, so you don't have to. Yeah, this is one thing you really don't need any proof for. We have original sin, and we're a mess because of it. Okay, so among the gifts that Adam and Eve lost was the ability to maintain the divine order and to establish dominion throughout creation, and his ability to diffuse light of spiritual gifts, sons, to all humans to partake of the eternal operation of God's divine will. He had that power because of his bilocation, that he could communicate with. See, we think that's all of this is now being scientifically, you might say, authenticated. There is an energy that's called scalar energy that Nikola Tesla actually got in touch with, but he didn't have the funding to communicate, to continue his experimentation. But there is somebody, and I mentioned it, who has studied Tesla's work and has been able to develop an instrument that can project scalar energy. And scalar energy has the ability to communicate everywhere immediately.
Father, you're saying bilocation was God being able to take in the, become each person and...
Yeah, the bilocation is really multi-location, really, but bi means it's one or two. And so basically, Adam and Eve had that gift, and that's why everything they did in the garden affected everybody who ever existed or ever would exist. So it goes through time and space, and I was just mentioning scalar energy because it has that quality. It's the foundational energy of the universe, and it's coming from the sun. It's light energy, you might say, and it communicates immediately everywhere. And so what this Tom Palladino has, its instrument, he's been able to help and to disassemble the molecular structure of 400,000 now pathogens. And that he has, all he needs is your picture, because it identifies people wherever, and he has information that people in Africa are actually getting healed. Some have gotten healed of HIV. He got the results from a hospital, etc. Over in Africa, he lives in Florida. So all of this is just the nature. This is not spirituality as such. This is simply physics. It is the nature of it. In other words, God seems to have put that quality in creation to communicate everywhere, and that's what Adam and Eve had. And that's why what they did before they sinned is communicated to all of us. in our own deep self. And also, what what they did to sin is also communicated to us. And that has pervaded creation until now. Now, Jesus, of course, has control of that whole situation because he is God. So he came in to transform all of that, and it's communicating to us through creation. He became human in order to do it. Because he can't do it from outside, because God had given dominion to all humans. And so he became human in order to transform it. So because of Adam and Eve's actions, and before his fall from grace, had a universal efficacy. They remain for all, but incomplete and covered over by the disorder resulting from original sin. Despite his fall, Adam's original accomplished divine acts in God's will that remained effective assured his salvation. The disaster of a person who does not do God's will is frighteningly described in the following passage. My daughter, the soul who does not do my will has no reason to live on the earth. Its life becomes pointless without either ends or means. It is like a tree that is unable to produce any fruit. It steals from me the works of creation, redemption, and sanctification with regard to itself. It steals from me the light of the sun, the food it eats, the air it breathes, the water that quenches its thirst, the fire that warms it, the ground upon which it walks, because all such things belong to those who do my will. All that is mine is theirs. The soul who does not do my will has no rights, and I feel that I am continually being robbed. So the soul that does not do my will must be considered virulent and fraudulent stranger. And it is necessary to chain that soul and cast it into the deepest dungeon. So this
is... This is February 5th. What text is this from? Do you know?
Yeah, it's from February 5th, 1913. I'd have to check it with my notes. I could tell you what volume it's in. But in other words, it's one of the volumes of... And the volumes don't have pages. They have dates of the particular revelations. And so this is the particular revelation of that date. And I do have the volume in my notes, but I won't look at it now. Okay. So the fiat of creation continued. In addressing Louisa as his first daughter, who began again to live the divine will fully, Jesus had this to say: one little round of yours in my will, one little pain of yours, one offering, one prayer in my fiat form many additional hues that you add and that my will delights in administering to you. In my will, things are all complete, and it would not tolerate that its first daughter not receive all of the complete acts of the maximum capacity of her creaturehood in form of its divine kingdom. So those who follow Jesus' teachings, he will give us all that we could take, all that we were meant to have. We will learn this. Okay, so we'll end that. So we just... ask you, Lord, to bless us, because we see now, Lord, what you made us for. As I mentioned in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 36, God says he will put his will in us, his spirit in us, and make us keep the law. So he already had that intention. And I was already doing that with people. If they couldn't forgive their parents, let God do it in you. If they can't, just give him permission. He's already done it. Just give him permission. That's all he needs, because he's already done it. You're not persuading him to do it. You're giving him permission to give it to you, because God loves. He loves to love. We make his day when we receive what he's giving us. So, Lord, we ask that we would be open to seeing what you made Adam and Eve to be. That you blessed them with all these graces, but they had to make that test. And they failed the test because they were limited. They didn't have the whole history of sin that Mary had to see what evil came from the human will. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us to grow in that divine will. That we would trust you ever more and more. That we would know that you don't let anything happen in our life that you don't mean to bring good out of. As you are love, we give you praise and thanks through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. Let me see, too.
It was Ezekiel, what, Father? Ezekiel 36 or 36? That you just said.
Which
Ezekiel?
One?
Ezekiel?
36.
36.
36
chapter.
How many volumes?
No. Ezekiel.
Oh, Ezekiel 36, yes. I don't know what verse it is.
Okay.
Somewhere in the middle, about the 27th or something like that.
Okay.
Mass at 11.
Yes.
But we'll have to find out where the chapel is.
Mass is on the third floor. The elevator down.
Third floor, okay.
Or the stairs, yes.
Want me to turn off the projector?
It's a chapel.
It would be.
It would be down there.
Yeah, they
yes.
Just.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
should we bring everything with us?
You can take it all next year.
You're safe to leave your things that you want to leave here, but if there's anything you wanted to bring, your wallet. But it should be fine. Right now it is, you have, it's about 10:40, so you have about 20 minutes. So we can finish
the conversation. No,
okay. All right, now I have to find it too. Because I'm going to celebrate.
Are we in Jerusalem?
Sure. That would be very nice. Here we go. That's so.
One copy from when we signed up the name.
Yeah, I never got an email.
Okay.